into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Well, you won't be shocked to hear we're starting the football show early this evening. It's been an extraordinary 48 hours and the last 2 hours have really picked up the pace. We'll be joined by Philippe Auclair, Andy Mitten on the resignation of Ed Woodward at Manchester United. Dominic Fifield, who covers the London clubs for The Athletic, will join us. And up top, Gab Marcotti is with us. Hello, Gab.
Hey.
So, extraordinary. The European Super League dead as soon as it started, really.
Yeah, and I think what strikes you most, other than the just the universal negative reaction from so many people in the game, both here in England, but in Germany, elsewhere on the continent, was just how badly they read the room, how they were so remiss in figuring out what the reactions were going to be, how they believe their own PR, and you know, I the opportunity to speak to two of the clubs involved, and you know, they tried to make their case, and they had reasons which they thought were valid. Those reasons were never put across. They never had a chance to win hearts and minds because they did everything so badly, and they came across as so self-serving. And I think this is mostly on the clubs who were driving this: Real Madrid, Manchester United, Liverpool, and Juventus.
It's hard to imagine a more botched effort to try and introduce this to the footballing world.
It is. And, you know, these are the smartest guys in the room, supposedly.
Yeah.
And you know what? I always wonder about it, right? If you're Glazer, you don't care, right? You didn't care before about the fan reaction. You're not going to care now. You have other priorities and more power to you. But, you know, when I looked at Andrea Agnelli, who sees himself as a leader within UEFA, a leader in the European football family and so on, thinking it would be a good idea to sign a deal on Friday and then kind of disappear on Saturday and just ghost everybody. When I look at John W. Henry and Mike Gordon misreading what the reaction of Liverpool fans might be. You know, these are two men who in the past have, you know, taken unpopular decisions, like when they hiked the ticket prices or when they when they were going to furlough their staff, and they saw what the reaction was from the fans, and to their credit, they changed their mind. They haven't changed their mind here yet. Maybe they will. But how do you not know your own customers? How do you fail to read the room? How do you fail to read what the reaction's going to be? How do you fail to read what the reaction from politicians was going to be? And it might have just been posturing. That's what surprised me. Now, it's not entirely dead yet. We'll see what Florentino Perez is speaking in a couple hours on Spanish radio. But it certainly doesn't look good.
Well, Florentino did a hell of a job last night in Spanish media. So, I mean, we look forward to hear what he has to say this evening. So here's what we do know. We know Man City are out. We know Chelsea are out. We know Atletico are out. We know Ed Woodward has tendered his resignation at Manchester United. Agnelli's future has been speculated about on Twitter at quite a pace. Do we have any confirmation or insight there, Gab?
Juventus are denying that he has resigned. Some people would say that he's so shameless that he's never going to resign. And, you know, his family, obviously, as he always reminds everybody, there is no single family that has owned any sports team in the world longer than his family in Juventus have. So I don't see him, you know, moving on unless he's just tired of it. But I wouldn't necessarily expect that.
Yes. So these are the Agnellis, the Fiat company, billionaires, have owned Juventus for a long time. How long, remind us, because I mean, not everybody's as obsessed with the boardrooms of European football as they may have been over the last couple of days. How long has Andrea been very much running things there, personality type? Like, give us an insight into what's been going on with this guy driving this whole mess.
Well, he's run Juventus for about 10 years, but his family have owned a majority stake in the club. I believe since the 1920s. So, you know, he's been there throughout. And, you know, one of the most remarkable things I saw this week was watching Alexander Šefrin, the UEFA president, who's godfather to one of Agnelli's children. The two are very close. They've known each other for years. You know, talk about how betrayed he felt, how he was lied to his face, and the language that he used. And, you know, it's funny because some of these owners and some of these characters we talk about really are sort of cold-blooded businessmen, and others have egos and they have emotional reactions. And, you know, Šefrin certainly felt absolutely humiliated, and I think that's why he came out so strongly straight away. I think there are some other people on the Super League side who probably do feel humiliated and feel they failed and will step aside. And I think there's others, particularly some owners, who simply don't care and will just carry on as normal.
Mm. People are wondering if this whole thing was brinksmanship and they never expected this European Super League to happen. What's your understanding on that front?
So this is one thing which I think the media kind of missed, especially the Anglo media. They said straight away in their very first communique that, you know, we expect, you know, we look forward to meetings with UEFA and FIFA soon, right, after they'd made their announcement that they were forming this league. And Florentino last night said that essentially the model was going to be that of the highly successful EuroLeague in basketball, where you have a number of teams, I think it's 11 teams, that have these long-term licenses and are guaranteed a place in it. And then you have other teams, 5 or 7, I think it is, who qualify via other tournaments, winning certain national leagues. And this is done, it wasn't like this at first when they broke away, but now it's all done with the blessing of FIBA, which is the equivalent of UEFA. They expected to get to that point. They expected, you know, UEFA to run the Champions League and the Europa League and what would be minor tournaments and, you know, help determine the qualification path to their Super League. That was a plan all along.
Right.
It was never going to be, you know, they were just going to be off and play by themselves without supervision and then come into the Premier League and La Liga when it served them.
Okay, interesting. So, in effect, your prize for winning the Champions League, the new lesser Champions League, would be a place in the European Super League type thing?
Yeah, that's the work, that's how it works in EuroLeague, and that's what Florentino said last night.
Where do you think this leaves this dirty dozen, the 15, the 12, whatever the hell you want to call them at this stage, in terms of, like, they're going to try and get something like this off the ground again at some stage in the next 18 months, 24 months, who knows? I mean, what this has exposed is, one, an incompetency, and two, they didn't really have it in them to hold their nerve for very long. So, you know, in terms of, like, UEFA and even the power that fans will feel they have, this 12 better come armed properly the next time, because I don't think anybody's going to really be all that afraid that they can't see off their bluff.
Absolutely. They were confident that they could do this and that UEFA were going to fall into line.
Yeah.
And that the fans would swallow it because ultimately fans just want to see their team and whatever. And I think the response, not just from fans, but also from players and from managers. I mean, look at what Pep Guardiola said today. And look, I know there's going to be people, these people bug me, who come out of the woodwork and say, oh, but, you know, UEFA and FIFA are hypocrites because they created a situation, blah, blah, blah. You know what? That may be true, but that's all in the past. I think what most fans are interested in right now is that when it mattered, they stood tall. They didn't allow themselves to be bullied. And I think they found that when you stand for certain things, that, you know, the rank and file, the fans, they're going to come out and they're going to support you. And the players, and ultimately it's about the players, right? That's why people pay the big monies, because they want to see these players. The players came out and supported you. And I think, you know, that was one of the big miscalculations that the Super League teams made.
Mm. Can I get your thoughts on the situation at Manchester United, Ed Woodward's departure?
So I was told that Ed Woodward was gonna leave in the summer anyway, and that it's an amicable situation. But, you know, those are club, that's club speak, right? It can't be, you know, if you're going to leave in the summer, leave in the summer. Why are you resigning now and then hanging around? Ed Woodward was called out by name by Sheffrin, saying that, according to Sheffrin, he spoke to Woodward on Thursday, who said, oh, everything's fine. What a great plan we have here. I think that is pretty damaging. I don't know. I can't pretend to know Woodward very well, but I think he brought it forward because I think he did put a lot of work into it on behalf of the Glazers. And I think in his case, I'm not saying he's ashamed, but he knows that he screwed up.
Yeah.
And he didn't deliver what he was going to deliver.
Well, I suspect Joel is saying, Ed, I'm all over everyone's websites right now saying how great this is going to be, and you've let me down quite badly here. One last broad point to put to you. Andy Mitten is going to join us later, and I'm very curious for his thoughts on this. I don't know how much of Monday Night Football you saw or didn't see last night, but it was quite striking. Neville, in particular, went after the Glazers. He called them scavengers. He once again raised the issue of the leverage buyout. He said he felt complicit in not speaking out more, referenced everything from the money they've taken out in dividends right up to the lack of paint at Old Trafford, which he called second rate. I'm not sure that genie goes back in the bottle now, and there's a sense of momentum about this. I don't think Neville, for instance, can go back to talking about United's back four next week. The Glazers in particular jump out as under threat. Not that they'll care, but do you suspect now these owners are going to come under increasing pressure as a fallout from this, or do we quickly switch back to life as normal?
Look, I genuinely don't believe that all owners are created equal, right? Even the American owners, right? I go back to the Liverpool owners in this case. Right up until this point, you know, they were adored in Merseyside, and not just because, you know, they delivered the Champions League and of course, the Premier League, and not just because they weren't thoroughly unpleasant like Hicks and Gillette, but because they listened, they cared, you know, they really gave you that sense. Those are owners who understand their customers and thought it was important. I think United, because of their size, I think the Glazers felt that all people really care about is... I think he took the fans for granted. And to be fair to him, you know, if there wasn't a pandemic, Old Trafford would still be full.
Mm.
And what that says to me, that around the world, there are a lot of United fans who will put up with it, who put the club colors, you know, ahead of their hatred or their loathing for Glazer, or they can at least put it to one side. And there are others who obviously feel very, very differently, right? I mean, FC United exists, right? It's out there. Will this lead to more of a backlash? I don't know. I mean, it seemed to me like Ed Woodward was a big lightning rod, right? Because Joe Glazer never spoke and you never saw him.
That's changed now. Because funny enough, I think you stopped a lot of people and said, name the Glazer sons. They'd be like, there was obviously Malcolm. I think now everyone knows about Joel, put it that way. You know, they're in the spotlight again, a big way.
But, you know, he's sitting there in Miami hanging out with Tom Brady. He's one, you know, what does he care as long as the money comes back?
Fair, fair.
And, you know, I get frustrated. People made this seem as like, oh, it's American owners. Yeah, it's some people, some American owners who operated in that way. But again, I was just shocked by Liverpool going this way because, like I said, the Glazers have never hidden what they were about from day one. We knew it was a leverage buyout. We knew they're going to take money out of the club. We knew they're going to make the club profitable. We knew they're going to control costs. And they did all that.
Yeah.
You know? They did exactly what they said. And they said, you don't like it? You know, we don't care. It's our club now, you know? in some way, there was an honesty to that.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't make promises that they didn't keep.
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it as well. Listen, I know you're super busy and we've got to get moving as well. Gab Marcotti, great to have you on. Thank you very much.
Cheers, my pleasure.
Cheers. Gabriele Marcotti there. Busy 9 to 10. We're going to have Andy Mitten in a couple of minutes to give us a bit more on the United situation. Philippe Auclair and Dominic Fifield as well, who covers the London clubs, all on the way between 9 and 10.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.